to be honest, hopefully I'm, why do we say that? Don't we always strive to be honest? Unless, of course, you're married and your spouse looks at you and says, does this make me look fat? And if you were here last night, you'll know that the issue is not the issue at times. So you have to come Wednesday night because he really built that up, the whole thing of the issue is not the issue. So if the issue is not the issue, what is the issue? I'll tell you in a couple minutes. You have to come Wednesday night to learn what the issue really is. Anyway, I kind of struggled with thinking about what to preach. I know we've been working through a series of messages on qualities of a disciple from our Bible reading guide that we're following as a church this year. My intention is to, on occasion, pull something from what we've been reading that week and preach on one of those passages. But I just really felt like it would be wrong for me to ignore what's going on in our world, because in case you haven't noticed, the world has gotten crazy or crazier than normal in these last few weeks, and largely in part to concern and fear of the coronavirus. So I really felt that I needed to help us find a perspective from God's word for what we as Christians should do, how we should respond, and then two, to encourage us to see this as a door that God has opened, that there may be needs out there that God can use us to minister to in the days ahead in his name, to minister his love and grace to people who are fearful, who don't know that God is there to supply all their needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that God is their source, that God really is in control of this world. So my message this morning is God is bigger. We don't have to give in to fear. Now, as of Tuesday afternoon, and I know these some of these numbers are a little out of date because they're changing so quickly, but as of Tuesday afternoon, there have been at least 116,000 cases of coronavirus worldwide, according to CBS News, while 64,000, and I think that number has changed, have recovered, more than 4,000 have died. Now, I'm not sure, and I'll have to be honest with you again, I kind of had to have that check in my own heart. I think it was President Reagan who made the comment at one time, as a recession is when your neighbor loses his job, a depression is when you lose your job. Whatever else we may think of all that's going on, we must keep in mind that there are people that really are hurting and suffering. You know, whether it's grandma in the nursing home or, you know, young or old, there are people that are hurting today and suffering loss because they have lost someone. For them, it's not just a big scare worldwide. We got to remember, for some people, this really hits home, and it's very personal. It affects their family either because they have lost someone to this disease or some other disease, or they're looking at the future and saying, man, they're going to close down my job, or we're, you know, I don't know how many people I've talked to. One of the couples last night at the date night, they were supposed to go do a trip to Israel, do a tour of the Holy Land. It got canceled on them. Now they're looking, it's been rescheduled for next February. So in many, many real and practical, heartfelt ways, even if it's not the sickness itself, the corollaries or the continuing web of how it affects is very real. And we'll have a little lightheartedness this morning, but at the same time, I think part of our response as faith, as people of faith in Jesus Christ, that there must be compassion on our part, because it does affect some people very, very seriously. In America, multiple states are under a state of emergency. As we know, politicians and health Public health officials are recommending large gatherings of people, including sporting events and coronavirus hotspots, be canceled or closed to the public. It's affected us here. No spring fling, no Tuesday night community meal, the fish fry this coming Friday. And I guess there's some discussion on what are they going to close the schools here. Many states have already. So there is that effect. You know, in my mind, if it's affecting sports, you know, it must be serious to some degree, right? And I mean, what do we, you know, it's probably some truth to it that somebody made the comment 9 months from now, we're going to have a new generation of kids that, and they're going to be called the coronials. Just saying. In so far, in as when I was preparing this, these are the numbers from the CDC in the U.S. that we've had a total of 1,215 cases. Like I say, these numbers will have changed. Total deaths, 36, and most of those are elderly or those who were already battling sickness. And jurisdictions reporting cases were 42 states in the District of Columbia. In some cases, there's not a large number being reported, but you know, 43 of our states have reported something. The New York Stock Exchange resumed trading after a brief halt, triggered by a 7% decline shortly after the market opened. Thursday, President Donald Trump announced a 30-day ban on all travel to the U.S. from continental Europe. So it is affecting the ability of people to travel, whether it's for, you know, Holy Land trips or we know of a someone that is stuck in a country because they just closed the country she was trying to get into. So those things are affecting people. Psychologists and public health experts say public anxiety is high, and it's largely fueled by a feeling of powerlessness. Just a little moment of levity here. Show that first picture there. All right, how many of you keep wondering, why are people hoarding toilet paper? And I guess there is a good reason for that, but anyhow. You know, but a lot of this is how many times people are responding is, what can we do? We feel powerless because of the changes going on around us and the way this threat is being handled, there is that sense of powerlessness. And the thing is, it's more than just a public health crisis. It's a global event pervading nearly every aspect of people's lives, causing them to worry not only about getting sick themselves, but about grandma and grandpa's health, what to do with out-of-school kids, how to absorb their rapidly shrinking 401ks. All these things. We actually went to a financial seminar on retirement on Friday night? I don't remember, this week. And, you know, and he was talking about, okay, if you're getting close to retirement, and all of us, I think I was one of the younger ones there, Kelly and I at 60, 59 and 60, you know, how's this going to affect your retirement? These are very real things. And the nature and trajectory of this threat is made worse with a feeling of not being in control. And, you know, that I'll be honest, that's I don't have a great fear of this thing, but boy, I sure have some concerns about, you know, the consequences of what's going on. But this morning I feel, and I think the Lord just confirmed this through the message in tongues and interpretation, that brothers and sisters, we must not give in to fear. I'm not saying that we have to ignore the reality of what is happening in the world, but don't let it make you fearful or to make foolish choices by overreacting to the situation. This morning, just from God's word, I want to remind us of how we are to act as children of God by looking to his word and living according to his word. So this morning, I want to turn your attention to Philippians chapter 4. There's a lot of passages we could have looked at, but this is the one that came to my mind. And it says this, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I think as we work through these commands found in this passage, it will help us to know how, as believers, to respond to what's going on in our world. First thing that we want is to, we do want to rejoice. We can rejoice because we know the goodness and the loving care of God. We rejoice because we know ultimately He is in control. I know one of the things that's been put out there on social media is one of our friends, and I don't think it was original with her, but copied from somewhere, and they said, if the world is this crazy over a virus, just imagine what will happen when the rapture takes place. You know, when all of a sudden it's just not people getting sick, but I don't know how many Christians are in the world right now, but what happens when, you know, about a billion people or so just disappear? Yeah. You know, you think about that, I keep thinking, do life insurance companies not pay out? You think about the people that are going to, you know, in all the industries that Christians are in, you know. You go and your doctor's not there, your nurse isn't there, your school teacher isn't there. The guy who delivers the toilet paper isn't there. You know. But that understanding that this world is in God's hands. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And that one of the things a crisis like this should, if nothing else, help us to remember that despite all that's going on, God truly is in control. And not just in a general way, but in our lives. And that for some of us, you know, we kind of jokingly talked about last night, I guess we're going to have to count people as they come in, and when we get to 50, we'll lock the doors. But I know others that it's affecting their livelihood. Where, you know, I don't know. I'm hoping if the school closes, you still get a paycheck. But for some people that work maybe part-time or on-demand jobs, a lot of those things have just dried up. Things that they were counting on. I mean, I don't know whether you're a sports fan or not, but all the conference tournaments, all the conference championships, the NCAA, the NFL has even been affected. If you're a hockey fan, no more hockey games for a while. Baseball's postponing their season opener for like 2 weeks and canceled spring training games. And I mean, you think about, oh, it's a bunch of sports, but you know, at the same time, there are people that work in those arenas or ballparks or, you know, the people that that transport folks to there. I mean, there is that compounding effect that there are people out there today that are probably really wondering, what in the world, how am I going to pay my bills? So some of these concerns are very real, but again, for us, I hope we understand, in good times or in bad, the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. He supplies what we need. But sometimes even for us, it's good. Okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but somehow you're going to make a way. He always does and He always will. So we can rejoice in that. Jesus said this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. None of this caught God by surprise. So we can trust in Him and rejoice in that. The second thing is don't overreact. This is that gentleness. Let your gentleness be known to all people. Now, the word in the King James here is moderation. And this word refers to a restraint on the passions, general soberness of living, being free of all excesses. The word properly means that which is fit or suitable, and then propriety, gentleness, mildness. We are to be examples of what is proper for people in view of the expectation that the Lord will soon appear and that God is in control of this world. We don't overreact. Wall Street's been hit. Local businesses are affected. I'm not a financial expert, but I will say this. This is probably, I know our financial person that we met with just a couple weeks ago, he said, this is not the time to react out of fear or let your emotions control your decision making. Be patient, trust God. Don't overreact in these situations. Trust that if the Lord, you know, if the Lord comes, we don't care how much we have in our retirement funds, right? And if he doesn't, we're still going to trust him. Don't overreact in these situations. Make financial choices that could hurt you down the road if the Lord should tarry. I had to laugh when I saw this one. Speaking of typos, this was at a Costco, evidently. Yeah, it's a long time to wait for, it must be a very slow boat from China. All right, if you haven't got it yet, ask your neighbor. They'll tell you what's going on. Don't let fear turn you into a doomsday shopper, folks. Again, don't overreact. And let's not try, and again, even what we say, I mean, a lot of these things are funny. But again, I will speak for myself here. I keep having to ask God to help me check my heart. While I may not have a lot of concern about all this, there are people that are truly being affected and affected deeply by what's going on. So let's not be callous about that and just poo-poo the whole thing. Can I say that from the pulpit? I just did. I guess I can. We understand that, okay? Don't overreact. Other thing is, don't worry, pray. Who's your source and provider? Into whose hands have you committed your life? Those verses, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God, again, this didn't catch him by surprise. So who is your trust in? Whose hands have you committed your life to? When you have a need, take it to God. And now, God has a strange way sometimes of supplying needs. As I was thinking about this, you go back to the story in 2 Kings 6 and 7. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. But here's basically the situation. Elisha is the prophet. Just a little before this, when one of the enemy armies came looking for him because God's been telling Elisha the army plans of this foreign army. And so they decide, when the king finds out, he goes, who's the traitor here? Who's spilling the beans? And they said, nobody, but there's a prophet. So the king sends an army unit to go get Elisha. When they come, another part of the story, it's not here, but God strikes the enemy army with blindness. Elisha comes out and says, nope, this isn't the place you're looking for. Let me lead you. So he leads the army into the city of Samaria, presents them to the king, the northern kingdom of Israel, and the king's going, all right, they're in my hands. What should I do? Should I slaughter them all? And Elisha says, no, feed them and send them home. So that the king actually listens to the word of the Lord for once. And now this people from that same country are besieging the city of Samaria. Again, northern kingdom of Israel. This is the kingdom and the kings that have basically turned to idolatry, turned from the worship of God. The worship of God is still there some, but the people are not fully, wholeheartedly following God. And part of the judgment on that was God said, when you break the covenant, I'll bring foreign invaders against you to remind you. This isn't the way you're supposed to be living. So the siege has been going on for so long that things are really, really bad. There's a great famine going on. Let me read verse 26 or verse 25 of 2 Kings chapter 6 for you. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. Matter of fact, as part of this story is the king's walking around and he's wearing sackcloth because he's mourning he's seeing what's going on in his city and happening with his people. And as he's walking along, a woman comes to the king and says, King, help me. And he says, hey, if God doesn't help you, how am I going to? I don't have any food to give you. And she shares her story that her and a neighbor, I mean, can you imagine how bad things must have to be for this to happen? That they agreed that today we're going to kill and boil her child and eat her child. And the next day the neighbor was supposed to give up her child. And now the woman's saying, well, we gave up my child, but now the neighbor won't give up her child. She's hidden the child and we're going hungry. Can you imagine things so bad? And the king at this point decides this is all Elisha's fault. So he sends men to kill Elisha. And Elisha, is spared. And God works to protect him. And the king's advisor, when he hears what Elisha says, that God is aware of the need and God is going to provide in this horrible, horrible situation. First of all, how many of you think, you know, you're going to go home and have donkey's head for lunch today? No. They're eating stuff that you just don't normally eat because it's so bad. And here's what Elisha says as the Lord speaks to him. He says, hear the word of the Lord, chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. This is what the Lord says: about this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Notice there, a shekel or 2 shekels, things are going to go back to normal pricing, basically, when a donkey's head was selling for 80 shekels. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, of the heavens, could this happen? And Elisha answers, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it. God can supply in amazing ways. And I'll let you read the rest of the story because God does exactly what he said he's going to do. The supply is there. The officer doesn't get to eat any of it. If you haven't read the story, go back and read it this afternoon. 2 Kings 6 and 7. But here's the thing. We don't worry, we pray, because God has a promise that he would supply all our needs as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, as we pray about this situation, do pray for the infection to stop spreading. So that so many of these consequences will go away. Do pray for those infected that they will get well, particularly elderly patients and those with weakened immune systems. Pray for healthcare workers. Hearing stories of where they're just being overwhelmed. Listen, if you're on Facebook, the hospitals put out a lot of good advice and things they would like you to do. If you think you are sick, follow that advice, but pray for our healthcare workers and those in the healthcare system. And pray for those who have lost loved ones or suffered loss because of this disease. As you pray and look to God for help, says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Don't worry, pray. Other thing here is, and that we do control our thoughts. Don't let the panic and hype rob you of peace. Do stay informed. Be smart in your practices. That's kind of what we're trying to do this morning, why we're howdy and wave rather than howdy and shake. Instead of passing the plate, we're doing it that way. Many of our brothers and sisters this morning, like I say, they didn't gather together for service, but they have that ability and in place that they broadcast their services, encouraging folks to do that. Why? Because we're fearful? No, we're just trying to be smart. And because we do care about your health, we do care about what's going on, we don't want to be part of the problem, we want to be part of the solution. On the back table there by the offering plates, if you have not picked up this kind of information yet, it's there from the CDC. I did a printout of their recommendations that give some background about what's going on, how it's spreading, and things you can do just to be, again, be smart and follow just some simple things. You know, we kind of laughed a little bit about it earlier, but one of the best things you can do is simply wash your hands well and regularly, so that we don't have to get, so that we can control our thoughts and not have to give in to fear. Again, that fear is fueled by a sense of powerlessness, of being powerless. Knowledge and wise actions undergird what a trust. Let me try that again. Knowledge and wise actions undergird with a trust in God is powerful. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. And know the peace of God is with you as you trust in him and act in faith on his word. The God of peace will be with you. Think on those things. So this morning, I encourage you to be open to the leading of the Spirit, as the fearfulness and hysteria around us can lead for opportunities to share the gospels with others. The gospel with others. Let others know you are not fearful, but trusting in God. And I would say adopt Philippians 1:20 earlier in the first chapter of the book we've been looking at today. Philippians 1:20 says this, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For in the next verse, probably most of you can quote, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That we would live our lives in such a way, whether through this, whether there's a crisis going on in the world or not, but that the focus of our life is, I want to live in a way that Christ will be exalted. And glorified through my life. Now, Alyssa Tragesser, who's down enjoying hopefully sunny Florida, she shared a post from a brother in Texas, a brother in the Lord in Texas, and I thought he had some good words here. I'm going to share them with you. It says, regardless of what you feel about what's going on in the world right now, and regardless of how bad it is or isn't, you absolutely have control over what you dwell on. You have control over your reaction. You have control over whether you let fear take over. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be careful, because you should. But exercise caution and being realistic are vastly different from hysteria. I'll be over here washing my hands and then choosing joy, trusting that my God is bigger than anything I could face. Now, Donald, President Trump has declared this Sunday as a national day of prayer. So as we conclude our service, I do want us to take some time to pray. It's what we've been talking about. And here are three ways we can pray today. We can ask God in his mercy to stop this pandemic and save lives, not only in our communities but around the world, particularly in places that are unequipped medically to deal with the virus. We can pray for President Trump and other government leaders, local, state, federal, and international, to have the wisdom to direct us in the best course of action for prevention and care. And Scripture says, teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Pray that the Lord will give us wisdom in this moment of fear, as the foundations of what we know are shaken, that others would realize how fragile life is and how real eternity is, and that they would see their need to turn to God. Ask God for his mercy to stop the spread of this disease. Pray for those in leadership that they make wise decisions. And then pray that people are made aware and are reminded that there is a God that they must answer to, and that they will think about of eternity and their place in it. Let's pray. Precious Father, we do thank you. We thank you because you have done a work in our hearts. Lord, we're coming up to Easter here, and the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that you have defeated him who, the devil, who uses the fear of death to enslave people's hearts. But that we do not have to have that fear, because you are the resurrection and the life, and that through you we have everlasting life. But Lord, though we are not of this world, we are in this world, and it does, what is happening does affect us on so many levels. And Lord, we just ask that in your mercy you would stop the spread of this disease, and that, Lord, you would heal those that are taken in this sickness and other sicknesses as well, Lord. For you are the healer. We know that you heal. We've experienced it for ourselves, and Lord, we know that you're able to do this, and we ask for that now. Lord, we pray for our president and others in authority over us, that God, you would give them wisdom in what is a wise course to take in this situation. That, Lord, they will have the wisdom to balance out all the factors that they must consider as they make these choices, and how it will affect us in this country and people in other countries around this world. Lord, help them. Give them the wisdom of your Spirit, we pray, and the courage of your Spirit to do what they know is right and best in these situations. And that, Lord, in the days ahead, that this would be an opportunity for us as your church, your people, to not only show the compassion of Christ to those around us who are suffering because of what's going on, that, Lord, for some of us, it may mean watching some school-aged children while mom and dad go to work, or bringing groceries to a neighbor that thought they had work and now that's been closed and just need a helping hand for the time. But that ultimately it would make people stop and think that there is an eternity that awaits them after they breathe their last breath. And that, Lord, in these acts of kindness and compassion, and just as they give thought to what's going on in this world, that Lord, many hearts would be open to the gospel and to hear of how you provided for the greatest need that any of us have, the need of a Savior. Lord, in the days that are ahead, I know even our own church leaders here in Iowa and nationally, Lord, they're trying to decide what to do and making choices about gatherings that are coming up and all these things. Lord, we just ask for your help. trust that you will do what is good and right and pleasing in your sight, that we will see your mercy poured out upon us as a people, and that in the days to come we will be able to testify to your goodness and give you praise as we see your hand at work among us, locally, nationally, internationally, Lord, in this world. We give you praise for all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.